talk. So my talk is based on two papers with Nicola Bartol and Humberto Vaninotto, and I will tell you about our computations in single physics overall and the more general theories of inflation. Many people have been working on one-loop corrections, some of them are in this audience, of course. So our work connects very well to what David Seeley did in his papers on single physics neural models. So he computed the corrections for a single field slow roll model and coming from scalar fluctuations. And to linear order, he found that the leading contribution was given by this diagram. And I'm going to give the expression for this. So H star 2 pi. So this is the three-level contribution, and this is this correction here, which is the leading order correction in slow roll. So there is a suppression of each star over M Planck, and the star refers to forces computed at the rising crossing time. And then there is an ultraviolet divergent term, which is supposed to be corrected like we do in ordinary quantum field theory. So what we did as a continuation of this work, we included the tensor loop. The tensors have been neglected in this paper for simplicity. And so I will write the action. So I will write it as it is decomposed in GM. Where P is equal to x minus b for very single phase neural models, where x is defined as minus 1/2 chain rule, unify, unify. So I'll be working. We'll be working flat gauge, and the metric is given by the usual expression in the end. Laksenshift function. I want to use the linear formalism, and I'm just going to write it, the general formula over here for completeness. So this is a generic operator evaluated at a given time t, and this is given by time ordering. Everybody is familiar. So on this side, we have fields in interacting picture. So they can be treated as free field. So we want to compute loop corrections, one loop correction. So we need to expand so this is the interaction Hamiltonian, needs to be expanding up to fourth order. So we write down the momentum and Hamiltonian constraints for N and I. We solve them and plug back in. In the action and expand to fourth order interrogation theory. So what we find is that the leading order and the non-zero leading order interaction terms, the non-zero leading order diagrams are originated to third order by this term.
gamma ij. Sorry, I forgot. Well, okay, hij is equal to a square of t e to the gamma ij. So to third order, we have this term. And to fourth order, we have this term. So gamma ik, gamma kj, bi delta phi, dj delta phi. So this one gives rise to this diagram here, where this is the propagator for the scalar, and this is the propagator for the photon. Sorry for the tensor. And this one is this diagram here. Okay. So this diagram. There is just one propagator, so we have an integral over internal momentum of this quantity, d3q over q cubed, so which gives something like dq over q. So we need to regularize both the lower and the upper bound, and the result will be something like a log of some uv divided by some IR scale. This diagram here, there are two propagators, so it's proportional to something like this. So we see that we have both ultraviolet and contributions for Q much less than K. So you have something like this. So you need to regularize, dq, in the ultraviolet and infrared, dq over q. So I'll write down the final result with all the coefficients. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm in the flat cage. Where the I don't know, psi equals zero gauge, the curvature is zero.
What kind of regulating are you using? Is this dimensional regularization or just cutting off?
Yeah, I'm just cutting off. So I'm going to write down the results. So this diagram here gives h star square 2k one minus 1 over 2 pi square h star over n Planck squared times the log of some uv over ii. Plus dot dot dot, where I'm not writing down the terms that are finite or the terms that are that have some other kind of power law divergence. Whereas from the other diagram, we get h star squared to k cubed, and then 1 plus 1 over 6 pi squared h star over n Planck squared log of some UV cutoff over H star plus 1 over 2 pi squared H star over N squared times the log of some H star over some new IR. Okay, so in my first calculation there was a coefficient which was not right in one of these two diagrams, a numerical coefficient which was fixed later by Achad and Siri. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because with this coefficient fixed, which is this way, if you sum up all the contributions to one loop and to leading order and slow roll, you get zero. also summing up these three diagrams. So you get a cancellation. Yes.
Around its background value, around the rolling down value, why don't you have a three-point interaction that would give rise to another diagram there, another one contribution?
Oh, yes, because that, you have that, but it's subleaving. I mean, this goes like a slew parameter to the zero, so it goes like one. This one goes like epsilon, because this interaction here is of order square root of epsilon, so I'm not considering this. I'm just neglecting it compared to this one.
Since we're asking about other diagrams, what about the lollipop diagram where you have a line and then a line ending in a loop?
Oh, this one?
Yeah, that one.
I'm not sure about that. I did not consider that.
It's also higher order, right?
No, that's a one loop diagram.
It is, well, here there's a three.
It's 2 3-point vertices, just like the diagram that's second from the top.
It's like, it's
yeah, same order as that.
So maybe it's subleading, that's why it was not taken into account.
Well, maybe.
I think
something
so. Yeah. I mean, I would,
if the 3-point vertex goes like root epsilon, then that also.
This one should
like,
go, I think that's why it was not taken into account. So, okay, so this cancellation occurs, and well, it would be interesting to understand if it's. If it's by accident or if it's telling us something. So we can say that in single field slow roll models, this quantity, in single field slow roll model, this quantity to leading order does not have any one loop correction. Yes. Okay. So but, if you want. To deal with observation, then you have to go, you have to compute zeta, the curvature, moving curvature fluctuation. And if we want to use this computation and go to zeta, then one way is to use the delta n formalism. So by doing this, you get some other loop contributions because zeta. XMT well, can be expanded as the derivative of the number of e-foldings with respect to phi times delta phi plus 1/2 n phi phi delta phi squared and so on. So so when you take all those terms into account, the two-point function for zeta will be corrected by at one loop, the power spectrum for zeta at one loop will be corrected by terms that go like n phi, n phi phi times an integral d3 q 2 pi cubed of the bispectrum of delta phi, and you have all other terms, so you have n phi phi squared times 1/2 integral d3 q over 2 pi cubed, and then p is the power spectrum of delta phi again, and you have one more term which is n1 and 3 p of q Q over 2 pi cubed and P cubed. So again, you end up with more divergences from these terms, although you don't have any in the power spectrum of delta phi. So, yeah, so this is for single field slow roll what we find. Then we try to generalize our calculation considering more general theories. Okay. For example, okay, these coefficients, they depend on on the model you're considering. In single field slow roll, it is so n phi goes like 1 over epsilon, square root of epsilon, n phi phi goes like epsilon power of 0, and n phi 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 goes like square root of epsilon. So this determines the magnitude of each one of these contributions. And the bispectrum, you can compute it again from the interaction Hamiltonian to third order, so from this diagram. And in all these cases, you get integrals like, so in the first case, you get an integral like, again, d3q, something like this. You get something like this. You get the same kind of functions that I wrote down before. In the second case, again, you get this. In the third case, you get something like this. So you get the same kind of divergences.
So do you wind up with infrared enhancements or not? The final result for the zeta-zeta correlator at 1/4?
If I end up with more cancellation,
so your result was that the PV correlator had no infrared enhancements to the zeta-zeta correlator?
It does, yes.
Does it make the result bigger or smaller?
It should make it... The correction is suppressed by h over n phi squared. So it depends on how big these logarithms are. So for the ultraviolet ones, I think the best guess is that they're not so big because you can normalize.
Yeah, sure. You're talking about the numerical value.
Is it
plus sign in front of the sum of them all?
Yes, there's plus sign.
Plus.
Okay, so. Sorry, I can't hear you. In here?
Yeah.
No, there are no gradients. In the delta, there are no gradients.
So we just get progressing couples immediate.
In this case, do you mean where this comes from? Where is the light spectrum coming from?
The integral includes almost.
If this integral includes all the modes,
yeah.
Yes.
So you can enumerate
They were neglected in this formula because you are you basically put yourself above the horizon in order to derive this expression. Yes, they were neglected. Is that your question? Okay. We went on to look at more general theories in inflation, and we consider P of X and prime models, which are not the most general ones, but they incorporate many models. So before P was X minus P, now it's just a generic function of its argument. We do the same thing as before. The action looks the same, of course. Again, we solve the Hamiltonian constraint. We plug them in, back in the action, and we end up with a very, very large number of terms. Maybe I should mention one more thing before I say I go to the calculation. So why are these theories interesting? Okay, first of all, because they're more general and they also incorporate DBI, which is interesting for many reasons. And in these theories, when you expand the action, you get terms which go together with coefficients like px, phx, px phi, where these are the derivatives of p with respect to its arguments. So turns out that in these models, the sound speed, which is defined as px over px plus 2x pxx, so the sound speed is not necessarily 1, can be also smaller than 1. sorry, ZL squared. So when you expand your Lagrangian, you can have terms with the coefficients which go like 1 over powers of CS. So if CS is small, these terms can be big. And this means they can give rise to large non-Gaussianities, as is was shown by different papers by Chan and his collaborators. And of course, in the same reasoning, they can give rise to large loop corrections. But of course, the loop corrections cannot be too large, otherwise the regression theory breaks down. So you can use this this property to constrain CS and other parameters that might appear in your expansion. So by requesting the one loop corrections to be smaller than the tree level, and as it was first done in a paper by Leblanc and Chandera. So we're going to work in the spirit of our previous calculation, including all the tensor modes and everything, and in the spirit of this paper by Leblanc and Chandera to constrain CS again. So as I was saying, once you do the expansion and plug it back in the action, you end up with a large number of terms. So you may want to be able to discard some of them. Turns out it's not so easy, because if you are in general Q of X and Phi, and you try to even express these coefficients in terms of the small parameters of the theory, which are still epsilon and eta, epsilon dot over epsilon h, and then there is another one which is proportional to the time derivative of the sound speed. So all these parameters are taken to be small. And even if you try to express these coefficients in terms of these parameters, then it's not so easy, because also their derivatives, the time derivatives, enters in these expressions. So in the end, what I'm trying to say is that if you want to select the leading order terms, in the general case, it's impossible. You have to restrict yourself to a subset of the P of X and Phi theories. And that's what we did in order to be able to do the computation. And we consider a subset, which is not so small, actually, and it also incorporates DBI and slow roll by imposing certain conditions on the time derivatives of these quantities. Okay, so in this subset, we computed the loop corrections, and turns out that the scalar loop corrections are dominant compared to the gravitons now, and the leading order diagram is represented by, in our subset of models, by this diagram, which is does not correspond to just one interaction. It's a sum of different terms. And I write down the expression for completeness. It's just ultraviolet divergent. So it goes like delta phi k1, delta phi k2. So it goes again like h over 2k cubed h star times 1 plus then the usual factor h over n plus squared 1 over 8 pi squared epsilon cs to the 6 px and times the log of mu uv over h star. So this is our result. So we don't find any, okay, this diagram doesn't have any ultraviolet divergences. So if you want to compute the power spectrum of zeta, again you have to include the so-called classical loops that I wrote down before. So from the delta n expansion, and you get similar terms, except that you have different coefficients in front. But it turns out that in the case we consider, this is dominant compared to the so-called classic, compared to these loops. So we use this correction here. We compare this correction to the tree level to get a bound on the sound speed.
And P comma x consistently greater than 1, less than 1, anything like that?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Sorry, so C, CS times P comma x. which, like, NDVI is one?
Yes.
Was it consistently small, big, anything like that in the set of models that you chose?
I don't think I understand the question.
That's okay.
So you're saying, okay, so PX is one over some power of CX in DBI.
Yeah, so usually that combination is one, so it was kind of like H over.
Oh, but this is a power of six.
Yeah. I'm saying usually one of those goes away because of the P commands, right? So I'm just asking, so my normal idea of the scaling of this is H over n prime squared, 1 over CX to the fifth. So you have this expert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's what you get in EBI.
So I guess what I'm asking is, in your set of models, was that CS P comma X consistently less than 1, bigger than 1, could be anything?
Let me think.
I don't remember.
It's fine. The thing is, you get something bigger, like, yes, more powers in the denominator compared to the DBI, that's for sure. Because, so the leading order terms from the DBI, so we did not consider those terms because, I'm not sure that's, they should not be considered, but we did not consider because they wouldn't give rise to a log of k. So we discarded those terms. Otherwise, you would have those terms as well, which is what you had in your paper. So, okay, so our bound on CS, if you're curious, is something like this. CS bigger than or equal to 0.9 times 10 to the minus 2. Which can be compared with what other people got in different ways, like considering, for example, the WMAP data and constraining SNL in...
astounded that you can get us 12,000 on that. Am I really understanding this correctly? I must not be. So that correction term is down by a GA, what I would call a constant times H squared.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge suppression factor, and you're saying you can get such a tight bound? Oh, it's because it's epsilon and
no, six. That's a six.
Yeah, there's a power of six. Am I writing this right? Yeah.
So this is
that's 12.
Okay, so I guess you can.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I understand. It's okay.
I can. Maybe I should have written down that zeta in terms of power spectrum, but it's the bound.
It's clear from your formula. I just wasn't taking enough cognizance into that you have a very
small
high power
numbers.
There.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, may I make a comment? Because the fact that the bound is similar to what you get from the study of the Dupont factor is slightly to me misleading. Because it's fine, I'm not complete, but it's misleading because this bound will be the same in the as you get to the Dupont function in the limit in which the non Gaussianities detected in the sky will be border 1. Because this is the strong, you get this from the strong Kappa scale. And if the Dupont function will have to be over the 1, on the CD, then this would be the same bound. All loops would be equally important. Now, it doesn't. When you plot CS, it doesn't change a lot because it's a big power of CS, so you're taking a lot of square root. But I just say that this effect is parametrically smaller than the one from the frequent function.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
No, it's okay. No problem.
Yeah, I was just. I mean, it sounded good to me that they were not very different. So.
Yeah, but if you take one half to the eight, becomes more. Yeah, just that, no problem.
So you're saying that this bound is stricter, or
it's weaker, but quite a bit weaker, quite.
Weaker.
No, but if you try to say, oh look how similar it is, it's a bit surprising, right? Because the fact that the number is small is because the theory is weakly coupled.
Sure.
Then but for me, if you begin to take square roots.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much can agree, but I'm just saying she hasn't explicitly calculated what, like, the FNL is, so it's fine. It should be
slightly
different. Yeah, it could be slightly different. Yeah.
Okay, except for this reason, I make this comment.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So, this is what I wanted to say. So, I guess our message is... okay, when you do a loop computation, you have to take into account also the gravitons because they can give you as big as contributions as big as a scalar. So
you have to be consistent in that sense. And, well, the other message is that I think it's interesting to look at more general theories of inflation. And also in view of that cancellation that I showed before, I think it would be interesting to see if it also happens in other theories. It doesn't, I don't think it happens in this case, but it's something that should be checked, I think. That's it.
Whoever
she
wishes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
So you have, zeta has IR divergence at the 2-point function of zeta. So is it possible that it is because of the Durtan formalism needs to be resummed as the authors talk on the first day?
Yes, it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, my naive interpretation of those divergences is that you cannot do the computation in an infinite form because you're observing just a patch of the sky size of the present horizon. But, this is just a naive way of looking at it. Probably if you correct the formula in that sense, and you're able to get it.
So I think maybe it is a way to check that if you're starting from the other gauge, I mean, delta phi equals to zero and calculate zeta, that is something like a non-perturbative in delta n formalism. And then if you get the results that zeta correlator doesn't have IR divergence, but delta phi have IR divergence, then it might be because of the resummation of delta n formalism.
Yeah, I think that should be done. I mean, I think the calculation should be also done in the other gauge to see what happens and, you know, to understand better these delta n contributions. I agree totally.
Just wanted to emphasize that I think this cancellation is the same as this cancellation due to scale invariance that we found, in fact.
Yes, it's the same.
Yeah, and actually, when we first discovered that, we were initially surprised, and in fact, it looked like it didn't agree with your earlier cancellation or earlier calculation.
Because there was a mistake in one of the coefficients. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, but, it looks like it's associated with the scale.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
But.
Okay. So to follow up on that, if you took exactly the IPs, you could probably figure out exactly which terms are actually most relevant, and they have in the DBI the same, actually the scale invariant power spectrum also, and so you might be able to see if that same thing happened in that special singular case.
I'm then surprised by this cancellation, because there is no scale invariance, right? And the field keeps rolling, and the propagator of the height of phi changes with scale. So then,
to leading order is slow rolling, or to zeroth order.
To zeroth order.
It's in the de Sitter limit. It's the de Sitter
calculus. De Sitter scale, so to speak.
Yeah.
But why don't you go to next? Why don't you go to next order? Is that not interesting?
Then it doesn't cancel. In fact, we have, at least from the semi-classical approach, we have one way of estimating. Calculating what we think the contribution was. And I guess, actually, do you have calculations that could be matched with those that are more, that are directly from the exact loop expressions?
Yes, I think the IR part,
you could extract it from this.
I think so.
And actually
check
our...
I think they agree.
Okay, good.
Something like
that,
if there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker again.